This morning, we want to look at the Word of God, the man and his child. The man and his child. And I want us to take some scriptures before we go into the main message. Genesis 22, 7 to 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So two of them went together. 2 Chronicles chapter 31:20-21. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. He did it with all his heart. So he prospered. 2 Chronicles 31:20-21. Third one, 2 Chronicles 33:1-2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Again, 2 Chronicles 33:12-13. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem in his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And finally, 2 Chronicles 33:21-22. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. For Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made, and served them. Now every Father's Day we gather to do a lot of things, necessary and unnecessary. For some it's a time of entertainment, just like we had yesterday, novelty matches, drama, picnics, and so on. For others, it's a time for having sumptuous meals and drinks. For a very few minority, it's really a time to reassess their performance in this primary assignment that God has given all men, including those that do not even have physical children to call theirs. The primary assignment of every father is to guide his children and family through life in such a way that those children will fulfill their God-assigned ministries on earth and finally end up in heaven. Every other thing is secondary. Primary assignment of fathers: to take your children along to heaven. Every other thing is secondary. If we look at these references, we see we started with Abraham and Isaac. Always the example that we have to show. A man of faith, a man that loved God, a man that trusted God, a man that did everything to make sure that he walked with God. Abraham, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Two of them, that scripture ends by saying, so two of them went together. Two of them went how? Together. For our assignment that children to be successful, father and child or children must work together. Amos 3:3 says, two cannot work together except they agree. And it's how you bring up your son or your daughter that makes him or her to work with you. So Abraham answered his son. The son agreed and said, okay, just like you said, father. I said, and two of them continue to walk together. If you ask me, that was a walk that was supposed to be a walk of sacrifice. To one person, it was a walk of sacrifice. To the other person, it was a walk of death. Isaac never, in his imagination, understood that his father was going to use him as he saw him using rams and goats. But his father knew and continued walking. And the young man had been to so many sacrifices with his father. And he sensed that something was missing. How did he know? Because Isaac was used to spiritual matters. Fathers, did you hear what I said? At that young age, Isaac was used to spiritual matters. He knew that something was wrong. Something was out of place. So he started asking his father, everything is here, but no animal. By that time, God has separated them from the men that were with them. Why? Because Abraham knew that if he ever went to those men, they would not allow him to touch Isaac. Faith. To the point of taking your son to the altar. But let's look at these points. Number one, Isaac was very accustomed to what his father did. He knew what was needed for this spiritual exercise. In fact, left alone, he would have carried out the sacrifice himself. Are we understanding what I'm talking about? In your absence, can your son stand in the altar of the family? If Isaac knew all these details, his father said, please, the Lord said I should go to so-and-so and go to do sacrifice. I assign it to you. Go and do it for me. He would have done so. How many of your children really know how to pray? How many can stand in the gap when you are weak? How many can stand in the gap when you are having troubles from all sides? Number two is that father and child could confide in one another and keep strangers away from family secrets. Two of them alone, servants, you wait. Number three, Isaac had faith in his father and believed him. That was why he said, the Lord himself will provide. This young man has never been to any place where they said, the animal that we are going to use is invisible for now. Later, it becomes visible by the power of the Lord. But his father said, the Lord himself will provide. He did what? He believed his father. Does your son trust you? Finally, Isaac had faith that God will do as his father has said. Isaac did what? Had faith that God will do as his father has said. At that tender age, He already had faith in God. Training. The foundation is faith. So we see all these things that the person I can even call is the first king of Israel. Because he's the father of Israel. You tell your child, we are going to hospital, I don't have any money, I don't have anything, they haven't paid me for 2 years, as the person in the drama was saying. So, daddy, how are we going to pay the hostel bill? And your son, you turn around and tell your son, the Lord himself will provide. Will he believe you? Will he believe God? That was the level of faith that Isaac had got to as maybe a teenager. Even at the age of about 12. Then if you go to the place of sacrifice, you find Isaac taken on the altar. Tied as an animal. At a point that Abraham lifted his hand and wanted to kill his son, Isaac did not still move. When I have that spiritual picture in my eyes, I shudder. That a young man sees his father bring out the sharp knife that is usually used to kill animals and is going to descend on him. He still stays there. I'm sure that if it was race, if at 100 years old, 115 then, or 112, if Isaac took off, his father will never see his back. If he struggled, his father can never hold him. Where was his faith from? Nurturing a child in faith right from the beginning. We are still going to come back to that. You are going to see that that is why we have problems in the church. Because we take children through catechism, we take through them baptism, we take them through everything, but the starting blocks of any Christian race is faith. That is why Abraham started by faith. God said, move. You are going to somewhere. He said, Lord, where I will show you. So as he got to Tiba Junction, his friend saw him. Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. When are you coming back? I don't know. So where are you going now? The Lord said so. The starting blocks of any successful Christian home is faith in God. And today we are going to see how it affected so many families. Now we go down. If you see the 2 Chronicles 29, 1 to 2, Hezekiah became king. Put this one we have set aside and then look at these ones. When he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. If you go through the scriptures, you'll find that most successful kings of Israel were born of Israelite women. They were not brought up by foreigners. The ones that had problems had foreign mothers. That was why none of Ahab's children could serve God. So women, that's another one for you. Now let's go through catalog of what Hezekiah did. Number one, he repaired the house of God. Many years of the reigns of idolatrous kings in Israel had left the house of God desolate. He said, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors, can you understand that, of the house of the Lord and repaired them. That means that, like this church is now, for many years the doors have been locked because people were going after Baal and Molech and other gods of other lands. The church was abandoned. The temple was abandoned. With everything that Solomon put there, the temple was left. But Hezekiah did what? He said he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Secondly, he says, he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in his square, re-established the priesthood, and reintroduced the Passover. That means that as you are seeing our priests here today, all of them had left. Probably because nobody was coming any longer to offer sacrifice. Now that we are families going annually as God had prescribed to present themselves before the Lord. So the priests had nothing to do. Yet there was a lot to do. So he brought back the priests. The third one, he reestablished a covenant with God. 2 Chronicles 29:10 says, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Covenant. Covenant. Very important for any individual and any family. You know why? Every single deal we do or enter into, nowadays, you sign a covenant. If you go to the bank to open an account, you sign a covenant. Is that not right? They even bring witnesses. You must bring witnesses to witness the covenant. If you take your child to school, you sign a covenant. Is it because God called it covenant? All of them are covenants. You do this, I do that. A covenant is a sign of seriousness with the person you are working with. Sometimes you have to deposit some money. In those days, in the villages, you see that our people make covenant not with any other thing, but with blood. Either the blood of an animal or with their own blood. Open their hands or prick themselves. Blood will be coming out. Their own blood will be coming out. They mix it together, take kola nut and chew. Covenanted to what you have decided for life. Now, I don't understand why Christians think that we can serve God without a covenant. God is a God of covenant. Anywhere you see God talking to people, he say, if you do this, I will do that. If you do this, I will do that. Even churches should have a covenant with God. This chapel should have a covenant with God, written or unwritten. And it is funny, God keeps covenant too. A friend of mine was telling me the story of how he started his ministry. When he was starting, God told him to bring out his pen and paper and start to write the words of covenant of the ministry. He wrote all these things down and God told him, go and put it away. He went and hid it. Unfortunately, you know how the house grows. By the time God came back, he had a problem. I said, I complained to God. I don't know what is happening to my ministry. It is not growing. Things are going wrong. I need your intervention. And the Lord answered him and said, you remember when we started, we had a covenant. Say, yes, Lord. Go and bring your own copy. I have mine. Did you hear that? Go and bring your own copy. I have mine. The man said he started sweating. Because he didn't know where he talked away that paper. The Lord is so gracious. When he has searched and searched and searched, he said, my son, come back. That's where it is. He picked up the covenant and said, start to read through the words of those covenants. Have you been keeping them? The man went down and stayed weeping. He said, keep the word of my covenant. You will not have a problem in your ministry. So Hezekiah knew what he was doing. You will see that every king of Israel that tried to restore Israel to God from idolatry had to go into a covenant with God. Renew the covenant of the nation with God. Why? If you don't do that, God will not know, God will think you're not serious yet. You have to bind yourself to God with your word. Bind your family to God with your word. We can't go much into that today. Then he reestablished the Passover. He said, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, 2 Chronicles 30 verse 1, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. And Hezekiah became very close to God indeed. Anything he was doing, he had God involved. Now something happened as I was reading at chapter 30. I went down, chapter verse 17. As the people gathered, many of them had forgotten the law. Many of them had forgotten what to do when you came for a Passover. So the Bible said, for there were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lamb for everyone who was not clean, to sanctify them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. They had done something terrible. But Hezekiah did what? Prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek the Lord. The Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed, according to the purification of the sanctuary. Verse 20 said, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. When we come to the point when we are talking and God is listening to us, then we are somewhere. People did wrong. A king stood up. I said he prayed for the people and God listened to Hezekiah and did what? Healed the people. Were they sick? They were not sick, but they were spiritually sick. The nation was sick and needed a healing. And it required intervention of a king. He said he pulled down the high place and destroyed the idols in Israel. Broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Finally, he says, thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and the commandment to seek his God, he did with all his heart, so he prospered. Some of us are looking for prosperity with anointing oil. Blessed handkerchief. Prayer upon prayer and upon prayer, then confession. I possess my possession. But you are wearing a garb of unrighteousness. That is the way to what? Prosperity. He said Hezekiah did all he did with all his heart, and therefore he prospered. When you serve God with all your heart, God is not somebody that owes anybody. You must prosper. You hear what I said? I didn't say you will. You must prosper. When you serve God with all your heart, that was what the Bible said about Hezekiah. I'm going to see more of him. But somehow, note it, Anytime that things start to go very well for you, the devil is around the corner. He wants to spoil your joy. And 2 Chronicles 32, 23 wrote about a king of Assyria named Sennacherib. He came against Hezekiah with a mammoth army, sent threats to Hezekiah, did all he did, sent emissaries and said, "Surrender. Your God is not like the gods, not greater than the gods of the nations that my father and I have conquered." But I didn't know the God he was talking about. Now, verse 20 says, "Now because of this, King Hezekiah and prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried out to heaven." Look, that scripture is special. Do you know why it's special? When a king is kneeling down with a prophet and praying for a nation, the enemy has no alternative. They must be defeated. The reason why we have problems in the country is that our leaders don't have any relationship with God, not talk of any prophet. Beside any successful king, you will find a prophet. Why is this so? Number one is lack of knowledge. Number two is simply because the ones that should be prophets before the king have compromised. They are looking for bronze instead of gold. What is bronze? Money, jeep, house, all those things. What is gold? Holding on to God. That is gold of life. But I can picture that Hezekiah, the king, was kneeling down before the altar of God. And who was kneeling down beside him? Prophet Isaiah. Crying unto God, "Do something about Sennacherib." Sennacherib was there deceiving himself. "I have a multitude of army to defeat Judah." At the end of the day, what happened? He said, God heard their prayer. And in the night, an angel of the Lord went to the camp of the Assyrians and slaughtered 185,000 people. Most of us know these stories. But when we tell that story, we don't know the magnitude of what God did. Now, many of us are watching World Cup, are we not? Go and check the population or the number of seats in each of those stadia. Except for Maracana Stadia that was built when they had 200,000 seats. Each of those stadia had about 60, 70,000 seats. Finish. Now imagine where 3 times the number of people or 4 times the number of people in that stadium were slaughtered in one night by one angel. It is then you start knowing that this God we serve, we don't know him. We hear about God, but we don't know him. That is why when he says something, we are afraid. God can do anything, anytime. Anywhere, God can do anything in his time. God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. God can do anything in his time. Have you ever heard that? Anything, anytime, anywhere. God can intervene. So what is happening at Shambisha Forest? When we cry unto the Lord, is sin iniquity upon iniquity. Sometimes I read the news I get disgusted. A man was charged for stealing 80 billion from this country. He was jailed. Went to jail and came back. An ex-head of state went for Thanksgiving service that he organized when he came out of jail. And when I said, no, I just went to say hello to him. Few months ago, the Supreme Court sat and said a man never stole again. 2 days ago, the head of state appointed his wife as head of what? Stupid nation. That's the only way to describe it. Shameless. A man that was being looked for in Britain for crime, escaped dressed as a woman, came back to this country. Nothing was done to him. Before you knew, they said he's pardoned. Before you knew, they gave him national honor. To fear what? That is why Shambisha Forest is still containing our children. When we are talking of things that are deep, people should repent. Like people on Nineveh, go on their knees and ask God, we need our daughters back. God is not deaf. Our sin in Nigeria has made God's hand short. And every day they go to service, they select the pastor that will preach to them. If they like, one day let them invite me. They will hear nonsense. But they won't. I said they will hear nonsense. Because that's an opportunity to tell them, you people are evil. Repent. Your sins are keeping these daughters in Shambisha Forest. And you are shedding crocodile tears. God, oh God, the devil for snogging. There is God, oh. There is God, oh. The same God is seeing your iniquity. Wherever you are, there is God, yes. But he sees iniquity and he sees good. And those children cannot be complete anymore. What is happening to those who have gone to hospital for treatment? What's happening to those who develop diarrhea? What's happening to those who develop malaria? They can't be complete anymore. But not so in the time of Hezekiah. And that was why God moved mightily. 185,000 people slaughtered in one night. He said, the Bible said, in the next day, Sennacherib went back to Assyria shamefacedly. And there in Assyria, his two sons slaughtered him. That's what happens when God hears our prayer. God heard the prayer of a king. Soon after that, the devil came with another problem, sickness. Hezekiah developed a boy. The doctors here will know that what Hezekiah was suffering from was now septicemia, not just boil. He was very sick. He's ordinary boil. He can be walking about. But his bloodstream had been filled with bacteria and want to die. And he sent the same Isaiah. Go and tell him that he will not survive. He said, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He said, God, remember my walk with you. 15 more years, I tell you. Then something happened. Without asking for it, God says, even if you don't believe me, I'll give you a sign. The sundial of Ahaz shall move back 10 degrees. If we have time to read that scripture in many versions, we'll understand. He said there was this instrument developed by Ahaz the king when he was there. Time was being kept by what? Shadow of something that was standing erect. When the shadow was moving, the people knew that it is now 4 o'clock, it's now 5 o'clock. Now it's... But God said the sundial of Ahaz shall move back. That means that the sun that was moving as we see it over the sky will now move backwards. We don't meditate on the word of God. Do you know what that... Did you do geography? What we see every day, the sun doesn't move. The sun is in one place. It's the earth that is revolving around the sun. So when the earth is revolving, the shadow is changing. Is that not right? What really happened that day? And 10 degrees is about 15 minutes. The earth, God held the earth and turned it backwards for the sake of Hezekiah. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So if you check, you will find that the time that was affected was not just 15 minutes, it was 30 minutes. Because after the sun, the earth was turned backwards, it had to be released to turn again, cover that same distance before now going on his journey. God just reasoned in the time of Josiah and Joshua. I said, "Sun, stand still. This time, I will make the sun to turn back." Because of one man. And when I read, I said, "God, if you travel from here, did I travel from here to Maiduguri?" We were driving, you see plain of land. This country is big. Plain of land, east, west, north, and south. We left 9th mile by 10 a.m. and arrived at Maiduguri 8 a.m. the next day. Few days after, I found that all my laps where I was sitting on the bus was peeling because of the long journey. Now, talking of Nigeria, how much more the whole earth? That's why when people went into the is it Pacific or Indian Ocean to look for the plane that got lost in March? Who should be searching for the plane? Lord Jesus, tell us where the plane is. He knows. How many months after? We're telling plane, okay. Nobody knows where the plane, no one, the pilot, members, they say it's Boko Haram. Pacific Boko Haram, Atlantic Boko Haram, Indian Boko Haram, and then Sabi. But where is the plane? Nobody knows. Disappeared. That will tell you the magnitude of the massive earth that God turned backwards because of one man. The highest mountain on earth, if you put it in the deepest deep in the Pacific Ocean, it will be swallowed by measurement to show how deep the waters are. But Hezekiah, by being faithful to God, was able to turn the hand of God when such a thing happens. Will you be doubting again whether God will heal you? Say, take fig poultice and put on the thing to dry up. Hezekiah. 15 more years. But during those 15 years, he had a son. He never had a son. 3 years to the time he was going to die. Now, 3 years into his extension, he had an extension. Okay, when in our contract now, back in my UNTH, God extended his contract on earth. 3 years he had a son. By the time Hezekiah died, that son was 12 years old. Listen to the story of Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. 55 years. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. If you go into the Bible and read, I don't have enough time to read all that now, the iniquity that this man called Manasseh committed in Israel. You know, I don't know. Have you ever thought of the day that you will come to church and right here in front of the altar of this church is Odo. 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 Or if you are from Angola, Haba. Haba is standing here. That is what Manasseh did. He put an image of Baal at the altar of God. He sacrificed himself to Molech, his children to Molech. A small boy that God gave you, you take it and put it in fire, burn it for Molech. If you can take your child and sacrifice the child, if you can take your child and put him into fire as a sacrifice to, what else are you looking for on this planet? What is more precious than a child? But it's still happening today. For the quest of money. I have seen people do that. I won't tell the stories I've seen in my clinic, children's clinic. Diagnosis, nothing. Easier than where? Rock and alien. By the time he starts praying, twice now, the Lord said they have tied him to the altar of sacrifice. Twice now. So when we hear such things, it is strange. People taking their stones to sacrifice for money, the god of money, idol. Manasseh brought Baal and put Baal at the altar of God. He was so terrible. Killed so many people. Blood was flowing in Jerusalem. Now when he was down, God got angry with him. Where we are going to is what happened between Hezekiah and Manasseh. That is the lesson for the fathers today. One was so precious in the sight of God. The other one, his direct son, was an abomination unto the Lord. And God, the Bible said that God was speaking to Israel, but they refused to listen. Then the same Assyrians came. Assyria that was defeated roundly by Israel before. They came to Israel, defeated Manasseh, took him in bonds to Assyria, and became a slave. Now listen, 2 Chronicles 3, 12 to 13. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. He received his entreaty and had his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. God, this God that we serve is so kind. After all that, whatever Manasseh did, he said, Manasseh prayed, and God heard him, forgave him. Have you ever heard of a king going into exile and coming back home? It never happens. But he was brought back to Jerusalem. Now listen to the final, he said, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Did you hear that? Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Nwa Hezekiah had to learn in exile that the Lord is God. Because It was in exile by affliction and other things that Manasseh now learned that God is Lord. Please listen to me very carefully, fathers and mothers. Don't leave your child untrained in such a way that tomorrow it is by affliction that he will learn that God is God. If Manasseh was brought up properly, he would have known that God is Lord. And there is nothing that any king around would have done to him. He said, then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. After suffering, after killing many people, when he went back, started building up the temple again, went back to God in worship and all that, our God is a forgiving God. But don't try him. Some people think that God can always forgive, so you stretch his patience. After many years of affliction, Manasseh now knew. Now, let's consider what happened between Hezekiah and Manasseh. Those 12 years that Manasseh lived are the years we in pediatrics call the formative years of a child. It is what he learns in those years that molds him as a man. But Manasseh, during those years, I can imagine what was happening to him. Like some of us who have got too rich, who have too many house helps, who have too many people. It is them. Okay. Have you prayed with the children this morning? I'm already late. It happened to me. Are we understanding what I'm talking about? Hezekiah did not take Manasseh and put him by his side. Learn of me. Manasseh must have been about the age of Isaac when his father died. But he went wholesale into idolatry. Because what? No foundation. No foundation. So when people came to entice him with idolatry, he fell headlong into idolatry. Never recovered. How old is your child, father? And what are you doing about him? You are waiting for him to be 25. No. Now. Praise the Lord. The affliction taught Manasseh the lesson that his father did not teach him. Affliction taught Manasseh the lesson his father did not teach him. That the Lord is God. He had to learn the hard way. Please don't leave your children to learn the hard way. Let them key into the faith that you have as a child, as a father. If you have faith. Because today, no father should leave this place without having faith in God. Are you hearing me? If you leave this place, you are doing yourself some evil. Now, after Manasseh was Amon. Amon was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned two years in Jerusalem. Again, he said, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. For Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made. Please listen to that very well. And served them. Even after Manasseh had repented, he did not destroy the images that he built. So his son Amon came up and started worshipping those images. What do you still have in your house that is not of God? Fathers, he needs to be destroyed today. Because your son can grow up and pick up some kind of book and start reading it. That's all.
In these days of e-copy of this is still in your library. Your son picks it up. He says, Manasseh sacrificed all the carved images, Amon, his father had made. Manasseh did not destroy the idols. So Amon had access to them and used them. We need to destroy all. Did you read about Acts of the Apostles? They said those people that practice magical acts and the all kinds of sorcery and all those things, they brought all the books they used and they were burnt. Anything that is not of God in house, destroy it. Because your children may be caught up. Why do we have problems? Faith is the starting block from which the heavenly race takes off. Are we hearing me? But many do not take their children to those starting blocks. Look at Abraham. He took his son and taught him the ways of God. Isaac, the same thing. Jacob, the same thing. And when they were brought up in such a way, they never departed from those ways. But what do we do nowadays? We teach our children denominational doctrines. We teach them etiquette, rituals, ceremonies, but they do not have faith in God. A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching a Bible class and I asked a question, thrown open to everybody. I said, how do you know you have faith in God? Some will get up and read the scripture. By faith, we know that this one was built by God in those days. By faith, we know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the component of what we have not seen. And say, jailbreak. Let us leave all this theology alone. How do you know you have faith in God? By the time they finish asking all their answers, I said, the way you know you have faith in God is, who is your first port of call when you are in trouble? Is it God? Or your wife? Or your brother? Or your money? Or your connection? You are coming back from somewhere, they said, oh, daddy, Emeka took the car and went out to buy something for mommy. And on the way, he hit somebody. And the police have arrested him. You take your phone. Police commissioner? I had my son is in trouble. And DPP, DPO, DPR, DPZ. If you have faith in God, on your knees, Lord, this is unusual. Intervene. If you have faith in God, your first port of call in any situation is who? God. And that's how God knows whether we have faith in Him. But we try all kinds of connection. Go to this place. Go to this place. When they have failed us, we now come to a spare tire called God. God has become a spare tire to many people, Christians. It is when the good tire is bad that the spare tire starts working. And nowadays, you see some Japanese cars, they come with one toy type of spare tire. That is the type of spare tire we have made God. From day one, when your son asks you, Lord, Father, we have a problem. This and this and this are happening. What is your answer? Abraham answered, the Lord himself will provide. What do you tell your son? What is happening around you? When we were growing up, midnight prayer. My father was an old Christian that worked with missionaries. And why he went to those people is that he saw that the God of the land na happened them mad and one age of ya. The God of the land demands for twins. When you have twins, the God of the land takes them. A tiny nobody nukuite, bupe an age of ya. What a clear bed up where by one. But when the whites came to our place, the man saw people that went to that Adrofia when they had the cry of a baby, and picked up the baby and took the baby to the church. In a few months' time, you saw that baby running about. After some time, he grew up into a human being. The man said, "This God they serve is better than our God." Nobody preached to him. He walked to the church. "Jesse Onyocha, I have come to serve your God. Your God is better than our own." So when we were young, it's not nowadays that you have built-in toilet. You have to go out to go and urinate. Tonight, I will get up to go and urinate in the night. I will hear somebody, my father, 2 a.m. praying. Some fathers, you snore all through the night. Praying. Trained by old missionaries, so they knew that prayer in the night was the time that, it's not that it's more powerful, it's the time that you have time with God. Nobody disturbs you. It's the most quiet time. Number two is that it is a type of sacrifice. When you leave your sleep and everything you should be doing and snoring and enjoying your, and at the end of the day, you find yourself in the night, you should be sleeping. You wake up. "Lord, I thank you. You are the Lord of the heaven and earth. God has marked a sacrifice." Don't you know dry fasting? So dry fasting is sacrifice. Only when you eat bread of affliction. So what does your son see you do? I learned a lesson. I wasn't born again. House officer came all the way from Benin to visit my parents, the few days they usually give us. My father was bare-chested, walking in the farm in front of our house. He was always walking, doing one thing or the other. And I saw this big swelling here. Part of it was already ulcerated. And I learned, I don't know whether surgeon still teach that, that when somebody has cancer of the stomach, it can show on the lymph nodes on your, over your clavicle. I was very, very afraid. I said, "Papa, we have to go back to Benin. This thing has to be investigated and taken out." He looked at me. His answer was, "If I am a boom." In the night again, because I know he's a very stubborn person. And to be a Christian, I have to be stubborn. Because they can push you from side to side. Spiritually stubborn. In the night again, when I said, I told you before that we have to go back. So that the surgeons have. He said, "I told you this thing won't harm me." I left home dejected, expecting a call any day or somebody, because there were no calls those days. Somebody will be sent to come and tell you, "Natawa na papaga mungo." By the time I had my next 2 week break, I rushed home. He was again walking in the farm. And when he came out, my eyes went straight to that shoulder. What I only saw was a dark scar there. It had been completely healed. I asked him, "What happened to this thing?" He said, "I told you it wouldn't harm me." He had used prayer to kill it. Eji prayer ebu mad. Eji prayer ebu oya. I want to understand what I'm. When the Bible says the word of God is a sharp edged sword, and we keep it aside. When your son sees that when there's a problem, you go on your knees and start praying. When he has a problem, you go on his knees and start to pray. And the child grows up. It's unusual for him to wake up in the morning without praying. He feels uncomfortable. If he hasn't prayed, he's not happy. Because that is the way he has been taught. What foundation of faith are you giving your son, your daughter? Now, yesterday, I was listening to a preacher say something about where he said, we have our children. They are all baptized, confirmed, and confused. The Anglican Church. One of the people that will undergo the greatest judgment in the house of God are Anglicans. Do you know why? As young as you are, 2 years, 3 years, the person that gave me my Bible, I didn't know her, was a missionary that was around when I was born. Said she gave me, I saw her writing there, an Oyibo woman. By the time I grew up, she was too old and had gone back to England. And I said to my mother, who is this Miss who so-so presented to Gilbert Nwadiaka Adimora on the day of his baptism, so-so-and-so, by Miss so-so-and-so. Very beautiful writing. Mama, who is this woman? It's an Onyanyan Bible. It's not on your channel, Nago. So my first possession as a human being was what? Bible. And that day, we come before God. I worship God, though. I don't know what is happening. And they ask you, what? Can what is your daddy? I'm on a choir from the age of 3. What do you do when I St. John's Nanka? What do you do until I got to 15? Mbana Youth, Ankan Youth Fellowship. Anona Youth Fellowship, we see here your church warden. More church warden na church any, St. Mark's Okunano for 20 years. The Lord will say what? I know you not. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know that thing that if you have faith, you become a God pleaser. And that thing that makes your son to attract God is what you impute in him as early as possible. Am I right? So that he will be, when God sees him, is happy. And that is the way to prosperity. But we bring up children. I don't know if na baptism, I drunk. All those things come after the faith has been established. Some people will argue, and the Anglican, they take babies to the altar. They can't believe. When Isaac was circumcised at the age of 8, did he believe? 8 days. Did he believe? Do you know what we do? Anglican men, Anglican fathers. If you take your child before the altar, to the altar, what you are doing is, you are taking the child by faith. So your own faith is imposed on that child until he grows up to be his own, decides what he do. But sometimes you come for counseling. I say, okay. Now I hear Melo Ogamori. That when they had, you know, the navel is a big spiritual connection. You know, in some places they take the navel of a baby. That's why they throw in the navel of a baby when a baby is born. So the baby makes a covenant with palm tree. And when he grows up, so why is it that if that can happen, why can't I take my baby to this altar and bring him before the archdeacon at that young age? See, lay hands on this child. By faith, we believe that he walks in the ways of God. Why won't it happen? We argue on things that don't matter. It is what happens after that matters. How do you follow up the child? How do you bring him up? What are the words he's hearing? So we see the difference. Abraham to Isaac. Hezekiah to Manasseh. Difference is clear. Do you understand what we're talking about today? The difference is very clear. So that Isaac could be called up at a certain age and there was dry, said, go and plant on dry ground. He doesn't say, God, can it happen? He goes and does it because he knows that the God he serves cannot fail. In the middle of dry season, it is difficult to till the land. And let me tell you, if you want to serve God, people will laugh at you. That's not planting season. There had not been rain for a couple of years and the land was dry. Okanke Isaac, at least well, keep alive. He went and sowed it on the ground. Somebody will be passing. Daddy Isaac. Okanke is in there. Anamakwaka. Nanya. Yeah. That person will go. Another person will come. Papa, what is happening? We are planting. Planting what? We are planting barley. On this dry ground, he said yes. The person will just go off. Who thinks that is? That's so stupid. But the Bible says what? How many fold? 100-fold. One of our young pastors made a calculation for us 2 Sundays ago, or last Sunday. He said, 100-fold is not 100%. Eh? If you have 100%, what do you get? 10,000. What do you get? 20,000. But if you have 100-fold, what do you get? 100 times 100. That means how many zeros? They're talking of millions. Isaac reaped hundredsfold because he had learned from his father Abraham that that is the way of life, faith in God. He didn't learn it at age of 25. He learned it when he was still a toddler and he saw that all that his father did was what? By faith in God. That is how the church is supposed to lay foundation of children. Those teaching Sunday school, those teaching anything you are teaching, faith in God. That is the starting blocks of Christianity. And that is how we start our children on the right footing. But how can you do that if yourself, you don't have faith? The young children, parents take by hand to church, later become cult leaders in campuses. Because there is no foundation of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and ask those called people. What is your name? Some of them are what? John. The other one is what? James. The other one is Barnabas. All of them Christian homes. Taken by their father to the altar. On the day they were baptized. Taken by their father for what? Confirmation. The day they were confirmed. How did they find their way into a cult? Because of what? The answer is simple. The fathers that bought them were not their spiritual fathers. By the time they grew up, they got born again into cultism. And their spiritual fathers are cultics. Are you your child's spiritual father? Please, are we understanding what I'm talking about today? Very simple. Everybody's quiet. But that is the truth. We are really their physical fathers, but their spiritual fathers are elsewhere. In cults, and secret societies because we did not give them any foundation. I lived in the same room for one whole year with the head of the cult, big cult in University of Benin, Pirates. The man did everything he could to drag me into cultism. To the point that one day he called me and said, "Don't even bother, we won't do any initiation for you because initiation is tough. They make you to drink all kinds of alcohol mixed together. And if you dare blink an eye, they will flog the hell out of you." I said, it's like telling him in Igbo, "Adam wanke ekpenanka." I'm not brought up that way. The man I'm talking about is the son of a policeman. Is there any policeman here? You have to be extra vigilant about your child if you're a Christian. Because the people you mix with are terrible human beings. But there's a way that a child is brought up. Finally, the day he finally spoke to me about that, I said, "Stop talking about this issue. There are certain things I can never do in my life. If my father hears about it, he will kill me." My father doesn't know about cultists, but I knew the kind of thing he would like to see me do. Praise the Lord. So in rounding up today, we are telling our fathers, our mothers, start down to teach your child faith in God. By the time he gets two evidences, miracles, God helped us. 25 years, not 25 days. People that came to talk to me about children, some of them stopped coming and stopped mentioning about children because of the answer I give them. Sometimes I get angry when Christians come and start telling me, "You know that your wife is not getting younger." By the time he's telling me that, you know what's happening in my mind? And let us come and pray about this matter. One of the things you shouldn't do for somebody who has gone through a long process to call him to prayer. You know why? He has prayed all manner of prayers on that issue. The best thing to do is to do what? Intercession. God is hearing your prayer wherever you are. 3 months to the time my wife took him, a pastor came to my house and said, "Doctor, I have prayed all manner of prayer for your wife." I said, "Thank you. What I think now is that you should take her, two of you should agree, and go and adopt a child. If you adopt a child, that child beside your wife attracts other children." I looked at him and said, "Pastor, which are you, each of you?" I said, "Yes." So, okay. God didn't tell me to adopt any child. The man said, "Doctor, what are you saying?" I said, "Doc, God hasn't told me to adopt any child. There's a piece of paper I saw while I was going through my diary 2 days ago. I haven't yet shown it to my wife. Piece of paper where I wrote a dream I had in June 2012. I walked into this same room where these children are kept today. We call it children's room. And here was my wife. She was sitting on a chair. And there was this baby child that was about 9 months or so old. And there was another one. They were a set of twins. Shortly after that, God said to me, "I never fail when I make a promise." So I told the pastor, "God has been telling me about these children for a long time. I don't think he's a God that fails. I'm not going to adopt any child." The man turned around and said, "You mean it?" I said, "Yes." I didn't know he had gone to my wife. My wife referred him to me. I said, I'll wait. I've decided that I'll be a guinea pig, an experiment to try out whether God tells lies. He left the house and went away. 3 months later, it happened. Now, please, fathers, mothers, the foundation of the Christian faith is faith in God. It is not Ijoka. Abraham had no church. He was just with his family. You know why I praise that man most? He had no Bible to read. There were no encouraging words from the Bible. He was just listening to the voice of God. And yet, he didn't fear God. Finally, my paper is here. God indeed told us to go into the world and multiply. I want to challenge the fathers and the mothers. This is true. But we seem to see this in the number of physical children we have. The question I leave behind with you as a mother, as a father today, how many spiritual children have you born into and nurtured in the house of God? How many spiritual children do you have in your own house? How many of your children are spiritually born because of your nurturing? That is where I want to round up. And I believe that God will help us. Take your child back to faith. You yourself, go back to faith in God. That was the difference between Abraham and Hezekiah. That is the difference between Isaac and Manasseh. Let us pray. Talk to the Lord about what we had today. The church needs people who have been grounded in faith. What are you doing about it? You yourself, do you have faith in God? I have told you how to know whether you have faith in God. Whom do you resort to in time of need? Whom do you resort to in time of trouble? Is God just a spare tire that you go to when all things have failed? If you have faith in God, he's the first person, first port of call.